إن الحمد لله ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بأنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. قولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وبعد. In this session we want to begin with a study and reading from the book of the great Imam Al-Imam Shawkani, great Imam, brothers and sisters, from the region of Yemen. Al-Imam Ikhwan, who was from the A'imma as it relates to his knowledge of hadith, his knowledge of fiqh, his knowledge, Ikhwan, of the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which he possessed from tahqiq and his ability to come to the bottom of issues, resembling many of the great muhaqqiqoon this era. And the great Imam Shawkani, he died in the year 1307 after Hijrah, and that is something that is oftentimes not understood and is not known, that Imam Shawkani, though it is a name that for many is synonymous with the names of the great Imams of the past, when in actuality Imam Shawkani was relatively recent, and he lived around the same period of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. The Imam, Al-Imam Shawkani, he, Ikhwan, was from among those individuals that was distinguished in regards to many of the sciences of the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and has written many great books in fiqh, in hadith, in the sciences related particularly to ahkam and the affairs of the rulings of the sharia. From the most popular of his books, we have the likes of the Nail al-Awtar of Imam Shawkani, in which he explains the book of the grandfather of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Muntaqa al-Akhbar. And the book Nail al-Awtar is one of the greatest of the books in the Ahadith al-Ahkam, that is, the Ahadith that discuss the rulings of the Sharia and the affairs related to action. Shaykhana Shaykh Rabi rahimahullah ta'ala, hafidhahullah, mentioning, Ikhwan, many years ago when we used to study with the Shaykh in Medina, that the one who studies this book and understands that which is within it, then he is from the fuqaha of this ummah. And that is because of the fact that it contains the bulk of the adilla and the evidences used by the fuqaha, and then it has a great study of the aqwal of the scholars and the statements of the scholars, and the meanings of those ahadith, the chain of narration, that which is related to siha and ba'af, yani authenticity or weakness, and then he discusses the conclusion in relation to what those ahadith indicate. And it is a great book that is no doubt to this very day studied, and it is from the books that are well known among the students of knowledge. Similarly, from his books we have the likes of Sayyid al-Jarrar. He critiques one of the people of knowledge who authored a book in fiqh and made many mistakes within it. And Al-Imam Shawkani, he likewise has his Tafsir, Fayd al-Qadir, Fath al-Qadir, and many other books, Ikhwan, in the explanation of the Nusus and the text of the Kitab and the Sunnah.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. So to return then back to what we were mentioning and what we were discussing concerning the book Husn al-Uswa, you'll notice that we mentioned that which was related Ikhwan to Sadiq Hasan Khan, Imam al-Shawkani. In actuality, Ikhwan, the book Husn al-Uswa was in actuality authored by Al-Imam Sadiq Hasan Khan. And the reason that you see Shawkani advertised and mentioned is because oftentimes it is said that the writings of Sadiq Hasan Khan were in actuality taken from the writings of Al-Imam al-Shawkani. And they were taken from the writings of Al-Imam al-Shawkani. And in fact, if you were to study and analyze many of the books of Al-Imam al-Shawkani and then compare them with the writings of Al-Imam Sadiq Hasan Khan, that you will see that there are great comparisons between the two. In fact, if you were to look, for example, at the book of Al-Imam Sadiq Hasan Khan, Ar-Rawd al-Nadiyya, it is almost a carbon copy of the book of Al-Imam al-Shawkani, Al-Dirar al-Madiyya. And likewise, the Fath al-Bayan of Sadiq Hasan Khan, and other works from among his works, that they are like unto carbon copies of many of the writings and the works of Sadiq Hasan Khan. And for that reason, it is said concerning Sadiq Hasan Khan that he was a student of Imam al-Shawkani. What is correct is that it is not established that Sadiq Hasan Khan actually studied with Al-Imam al-Shawkani, and it is said that he took from a student of Shawkani, and there are other attributions. But many of the writings and the works of Sadiq Hasan Khan are considered to be from the works in actuality of Al-Imam al-Shawkani. And that was one of the reasons that there was confusion as it relates to the title or that which is present from it being attributed to Al-Imam al-Shawkani, because of the fact that the works and the writings of Sadiq Hasan Khan are oftentimes referred to as the writings of Al-Imam al-Shawkani. But the book Husn al-Uswa, in actuality, was the authorship of Sadiq Hasan Khan, and Sadiq Hasan Khan was from among Ikhwan, the scholars of the area of Hind. He was from among the scholars of the area of Hind, or from the regions or the areas of Hind, of India, Bhopal to be exact. So as we mentioned, though Shawkani was mentioned, in actuality the book is the book of the great Imam Sadiq Hasan Khan. And if you were to study, as I said, the book of Tafsir of Sadiq Hasan Khan, it is almost exactly the same, other than a few words here and there and in places, as the book Fath al-Qadir of Imam Shawkani. If you look at Rawd al-Nadiyya, it is almost exactly the same, other than a few words and additional comments, any notes of commentary, as the book Dirar al-Madiyya of Al-Imam al-Shawkani. And so the works of Sadiq Hasan Khan are very, very resemblant to the writings of Al-Imam al-Shawkani. And so on the basis of that, many people say that he was one who serviced the ilm of Al-Imam al-Shawkani, one who serviced the ilm of Al-Imam al-Shawkani. But no doubt he was an imam in his own right, but it is apparent from his writings and his works that he was very much influenced by Al-Imam al-Shawkani, to the extent that his books are considered to be taken from the works and the writings of Imam Ash-Shawqani. And so, Husn al-Uswa of Imam Sadiq Hasan Khan, who died in the year 1307, as we mentioned earlier, it, in actuality, Ikhwan, is from the nicest of the books that have been written around the affair and the ahkam and the ruling related to women. And the method of his authorship of the book is that Sadiq Hasan Khan, he approaches the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he makes mention of the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal related to women. His method of categorizing the book is that he split it into two halves. In terms of the first half of the book, then the first half of the book discusses the ayat that are present in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal concerning women. That is, anywhere in the book of Allah that Allah Azza wa Jal discusses a woman or the ahkam of the women or the story of a woman or that women in some place were mentioned, then Imam Sadiq, he takes those verses and mentions them as they occur in the Quran, and he begins from the beginning of the Quran. And so he starts from Surah Al-Fatiha and then works through the book, through his book, mentioning the verses as they occur in relation to the surahs that are present in the Quran. And so he starts with the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah concerning women. He moves on to the verses in Surah Al-Imran concerning women. He moves on to the verses in Surah Al-Nisa concerning women, and so on to the end of the Quran. And so the first half of the book is tremendous in that he has done a good job of gathering every verse in the Quran that mentions women. And that then is extremely beneficial, not only for women, but yani for the tulab ilm, for students of knowledge of any the gender. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed the Imam Sadiq to gather in one place for the students of knowledge, and a great benefit for the students of knowledge, the ayat relating to women. And so there is not a verse, by the time that we finish the first section, there will not be a verse that mentions a female in the Quran or something related to women in the Quran, except that we would have seen it, discussed it, understood what is present within it from meaning, and had something from fahm and understanding of it as it relates to the statements of the Mufassirun and the statements of the people of Tafsir. Now, the second half of the book, he mentions within it, he does exactly the same, except with the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is he tries to gather the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that have in them a mention of women and that relate to the affairs of the women. And so he gathers from many sources, from the Kutub al-Sitta, from al-Targhib al-Tarhib of Imam al-Mundiri, and from other sources in hadith, the ahadith that relate to the affairs of the women or mention women within them or have a story related to women and so on. And again, he does a good job of gathering the ahadith, popular ahadith related to the affairs of the women. And so the book, in essence, gathers between the two sources of the Sharia and two sources of the Deen, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and secondly, the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we mentioned, it is ordered in two categories, it has two sections. The first section, all of the verses in the Quran related to women, and the second section, much of the ahadith and much of the sunnah, the ahadith that relate to women specifically, he has mentioned them in their place. And naturally, we'll discuss those ahadith in terms of authenticity, and we'll point out those ahadith that are weak when we come to them. But initially, we're going to be discussing for many, many months. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. If Allah gives us life, for many months we're going to be discussing the ayat in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal first and foremost, because that section alone is close to half of the book, and it covers maybe some 170 or so pages. And so to begin, Ikhwan, with a mention of that which is related to the muqaddimah or the introduction of the book, then the introduction of the book, and Imam Sadiq Hasan Khan, he discusses something from the intent behind the book and what he wanted and what he wished to place within it when he embarked upon authoring it. He mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, لا يخفى عليك أن النساء نصف هذه الأمة بل أكثرها. He said that indeed it is not obscure to you that النساء, يعني that women, are half of this Ummah. In fact, they are the majority of this Ummah. And so he points out a fact. That is, first and foremost, he starts by mentioning that women are not only half of the Ummah, but in actuality, they are the majority of the Ummah. But the majority of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are women. And again, that is a point that is not mentioned by many and is neglected, Ikhwan, by most except a few. But the majority of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are women. And that is because of the fact that ordinarily, the majority of any nation, if one were to look at the ratios, then the ratio of men to women in every place is that there are always more women than men. If you were to look across, whether you look at England, the Western countries, if you're looking at the Islamic countries, then the nisbah or the relation of men to women is far, ordinarily far more than the men, the women to men. There are more women than there are men, to the extent that in some places, I believe in some of the states in America, for example, Philadelphia, I believe the ratio of women is 6 to 1, and it is said that in Miami, I don't know if it's a correct statistic, but it is close to 22 to 1. And that is something that needs to be ascertained. Some arguments say that it is actually closer to 12, but in any case, there is a large ratio of women to men in many of the Western states, in many of the Western countries. And that is generally the case across the globe, that there are generally more women to men. And so, as it relates to our Ummah, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the majority of this Ummah are women. And so Imam Sadiq Hasan Khan, he begins the muqaddimah and the introduction by saying, لا يخفى عليك أن النساء نصف هذه الأمة بل أكثرها. And then he mentions, after mentioning that indeed they are half of this Ummah, in fact they are the majority of the Ummah, he mentions, وَهُنَّ شَقَائِكُ الرِّجَالِ فِي جَمِيعِ مَا وَرَدَ مِنِ الشَّرِيعَةِ حَقَّةِ. He said, and they are the shaqa'iq of the rijal. يعني they are the shaqa'iq, meaning the actual brothers. The shaqiq of an individual is that individual's brother, yani a person should shaqiq is ordinarily his blood brother, or his or her blood sister, yani that they share the same parents. And that statement is a statement that is taken from a hadith that is authentic, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned النِّسَاء شَقَائِكُ الرِّجَالِ. That is the actual wording of the hadith, that النِّسَاء, the women, are the شَقَائِكُ الرِّجَالِ, that is, they are the direct blood, similar to the blood brother or the blood sister of the men. And what that means is that they are, in terms of the sharia, they share with the men in that which is upon them. So generally, those rulings that have been revealed that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those ahkam, that all of them relate to the women just as it relates to the men. And it relates to the women just as it relates to the men. But no doubt, there are a number of ahadith and a number of texts that indicate with relative clearness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated certain ahkam and rulings that relate to the women solely, and that are specific to the women. And so those rulings are rulings that our scholars discuss in detail in their place. And Imam Sadiq Hasan Khan has done a good job of gathering the affairs that are relative to the women. And so in this, in the beginning of his muqaddimah, he mentions, وَهُنَّ شَقَائِكُ الرِّجَالِ فِي جَمِيعِ مَا وَرَدَ مِنَ الشَّرِيعَةِ الْحَقَّ إِلَّا أَشْيَاءَ خَصَّهُنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَرَسُولُهُ بِهَا مِنْ دُونِ الرِّجَالِ. He said that it is not obscure to any individual that the women are the direct شقائق of the men in everything that has come from the Sharia or the true Sharia, except for certain things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made specific to Allah and His Messenger has made specific to them and has not included the men in them. He said, وَقَدْ تَفَضَّلَ عَلَيْهِنَّ كَمَا تَفَضَّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِأَنْوَاعٍ مِنَ الْأَفَاضِلِ. He said that indeed He has placed upon them that which has been placed upon the men. That is, Allah Azza wa Jal has placed upon the women that which has been placed upon the men, except for certain rulings. And so he continues that indeed Allah has specified them with rulings that are specific to them, just as Allah has specified the men with rulings that are specific to them. And so, for example, al-jihad and the likes, there are certain rulings that are specific to the men. And so the Imam, he continues, وَهِيَ أَبْوَابٌ كَثِيرَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ جِدًّا لَا يَتَّسَعَ لِذِكْرِهَا مَقَامٌ كَيْفَ وَمَا مِنْ خَصَالٍ حَسَنَةٍ نَزَلَ بِهَا الْقُرْآنُ وَالْحَدِيثُ إِلَّا وَهِيَ مَطْلُوبٌ مِّنْهُنَّ فِعْلُهَا. He said that indeed there are many rulings or many affairs, many rulings and many ahkam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that relate to them, and there is a great portion of rulings that relate to them that are great in number. He said, and it is not possible to mention all of them in one place. He said, and how? How can it be possible to mention them all in one place? But if you were to analyze, you would see that Allah Azza wa Jal specifies the women with ahkam, just as He includes the women in the general rulings of the Sharia. So when the women are included in the general rulings of the Sharia, and then additionally there are rulings that are specific to them, that would indicate quite clearly that the amount of the affairs of the Sharia, that these affairs that relate to women are much, in that she has ahkam specific to her, and she is included in the general rulings of the Sharia. And so he mentions on Allah Ta'ala, وَمَا مِنْ شِيَمْ سَيِّئَ نَتَقَ بِهَا الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةِ إِلَّا وَهِيَ مَقْصُودٍ مِنْهُنَّ تَرْكُهَا. He said, likewise, there is not an evil characteristic or an ugly characteristic that has been mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah, except that it is sought from her likewise to leave them. That is, it is sought from her similarly to leave those characteristics that have been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. And so, what is clear then we got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has included the rulings, the general rulings of the Kitab and the Sunnah, and then there are specific rulings that relate to her. And then he mentions, لَكِنِّي خَصَّصْتَ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ بِبَيَانِ مَا وَرَدَ فِي ذِكْرِهِنَّ عَلَى الْخُصُوصِ. He said, but I have authored this book with the intent of mentioning that which is related to her specifically. That which is related to her specifically, that is what I have authored this book for. And so the Imam is not going to mention them, the general ahkam or the general rulings that are present within the Sunnah and the general rulings that are found in the books of fiqh related to the women, rather, or to men and women. Rather, he's going to mention here that which is related to the women alone. And so the book then revolves around the ahkam of that which is present in the Sunnah and in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal related to women specifically. Now, he mentions, وَهَذَا شَطْرُ عِلْمٍ مِنْ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ وَشَطْرُهُ الْبَاقِي مُشْتَرِكٌ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُنَّ بِالْيَقِينِ. He said, that is no doubt half of the knowledge of the Sharia. That is, that half of the knowledge of the Sharia is related to the women. And the other half of the knowledge of the Sharia, the women are included in that. So he mentions, وَكَمْ مِنْ تَفَاسِيرٍ لِلْآيَاتِ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَرِوَايَاتِ الْأَحَدِيثِ وَالدِّرَايَاتِ جَاءَتْنَا مِنْ قِبَلِ نِسَاءِ الْأَنْصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَاتِ. He said, and how much of the Sharia, and how many, a clear cut verse in the Book of Allah, or riwayat of the ahadith and their understanding, how much of that has come to us from the women of the Ansar and the women of the Muhajirin? He mentioned, حَتَى قِيلَ إِنَّ مِسْفَ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ نُقِلَ إِلَيْنَا مِنْ عَالِمَتْهُنَّ عَائِشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا الصِّدِّيقَةُ وَكَانَتْ أَعْلَمُهُنَّ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ وَأَشْعَارِ الْعَرَبِ وَأَسْبَابِ نُزُولِ الْآيَاتِ وَأَرْوَاهُنَّ لِأَحَادِيثِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم في أبواب كثيرة من الشريعة. He said, how can that not be the case when from the greatest of these female scholars is Aisha radiallahu anha al-Siddiq, the one who had the greatest knowledge concerning the ayam of Allah, really the days of Allah, and that is that which has occurred in the Sharia in relation to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that which is related to Tawheed and what have you, and history and what have you. But she is from the greatest of those with knowledge concerning the ayamillah, the days of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the ash'ar of the Arab, that is the poetry of the Arab, and the reasons for the revelation of the verses of the Quran. And she's from the greatest of those who have narrated the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the greatest of those who have knowledge of the modes of the manners in which they have been narrated. And so no doubt al-Imam Sadiq al-Khan here is highlighting the fact that the deen, ikhwan, and a big portion of it has come to us by way of the women. Not only is the Sharia, not only is the ruling of the Sharia related, or many of the rulings of the Sharia related to women specifically, but women, as the Imam mentioned, they are and have been from the greatest of those who have relayed to us the knowledge of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of the Book of Allah subhanahu, the knowledge of the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that indeed a big part of that has been narrated to us from women, or by way of the sahabiyat from among the Ansar and among the Muhajirat. Now, And then he mentions Aisha radiallahu anha specifically. And that is because of the fact that she was no doubt from the greatest of them in terms of her knowledge and in terms of her fiqh and in terms of her narrating the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was from the greatest of the women or the female scholars. He mentions rahimahullah ta'ala that فَمَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ لَهُ عِلْمُ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ وَكَانَ قَدْ رُزِقَ سَائِرَهُ الْمُشْتَرَكِ بَيْنَهُمَا مِنْ قَبْلِ فَقَدْ فَازَ بِالْقَدْحِ الْمُعَلَّى فِي مَجَالِسِ أُولِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَلْبَابِ وَإِيَّاكَ أَنْ تَمُرُّ بِمَا فِي هَذَا الشَّطْرِ مِنْ نَفَائِسِ الْأَخْبَارِ وَالْآثَارِ وَمَحَاسِنِ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْغَفَّارِ عَلَى غَفْلَةٍ مِنْكَ غير مبال بها بل عليك أن تستفيد بتلك الدلائل وتستفيد بتلك المخايل. He mentioned that indeed the one then who Allah Azza wa Jal gives knowledge of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the knowledge of this book of what, and he was and has been given prior to that knowledge of that which the men and the women share in, then he has been given a great filled goblet. That is, he has his cup full. If he has knowledge of that which is specific to the women, and likewise has knowledge of that which is general for men and women, from the ruling, then his cup is full. And that, no doubt, Ikhwan, is the case. And then he warns against being heedless of the light of these affairs. He said that likewise he mentioned Iyaka. He said, be aware of being heedless concerning these affairs. And be aware of being from among those who are heedless concerning these affairs. Yani concerning the affairs of that which is present within this book. And do not let it pass you. And that which is present within it from akhbar wal athar. Do not let that pass you. He mentioned the mahasil ayatillahi al-wahid al-qahar. And from the beautiful verses of Allah, al-wahid al-qahar, do not let that pass you heedlessly. And do not be from among those who do not pay concern to it. And so, even Sadiq here is highlighting them. That which is related to the narrations that are present within the book, whether it be ayat, whether it be ahadith, and similarly, he makes mention, Ikhwan, of that which is present from the need of an individual to be acquainted with those rulings that are specific to women, and for him to be acquainted with the general rulings of the Sharia. If he's acquainted with both of them, then indeed he has a great beneficial portion. And then he mentions likewise that which is related to returning in regards to one's knowledge back to the books of tafsir, the books that are relied upon, and the explanations of the books of hadith. And then he mentions in specific some of his books, and he mentions some of the books of Imam al-Shawkani. He said like Fathul Bayan, or Fathul Bari, wa Rawd al-Nadiyya, wa Nail, wa Sail, وأخواتها فإن فيها ما يرشدك إلى الحق الحقيق بالقبول والاتباع. He mentioned, so think to the likes Fathul Bayan, which is his book, likewise Fathul Bari, the explanation of Bukhari of Imam Al-Hafidh bin Hajar, likewise Al-Rawda al-Nadiyya, which is his explanation of Ad-Durra al-Bahiyya of Imam al-Shawkani, and similarly Nur al-Awtar of Imam al-Shawkani, and Sayyid and Sayyid al-Jarrah and Imam al-Shawkani, and the sister books that accompany them. Indeed, those books will guide you to the haqq and guide you to acceptance and to following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, that was a zubda, or a portion of that which you mentioned in the muqaddimah. It wasn't all of the muqaddimah, the whole introduction, but it was something from that, just to give us an idea of what the Imam intends to begin with the book itself. And so we enter into the first category, the first section of the book, and that is the section that discusses the ayat of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Imam mentions Al-Kitab al-Awwal fi ayat al-Kitab al-Aziz. He said the first book, that which is related to the ayat of the Kitab al-Aziz, the ayat of the noble book of Allah Azza wa Jal. He mentions Bab ma nazala fi iskan al-abawaini Adam wa Hawa fi al-Jannah wa izlal al-shaytan lahuma anha. He mentions the first section of the first Bab, the first chapter, that which is related to our parents Adam and Hawa taking residence in Jannah and the shaytan taking them away from that. And that, brothers and sisters, is a reference to the first of the ayat in the Quran. If one were to read from Surah Al-Fatiha and continue reading to Baqarah, that is the first ayat that has been a mention of any woman or any of the issues related to women is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ, that we said, O Adam, dwell you and your spouse in Jannah. And that is very relative, that the first ayah that mentions anything to the women mentions the first woman that ever existed and our mother, Hawa. And that, brothers and sisters, no doubt, is relative. And it is a good and a beautiful point for us to begin our study of the ahkam related to women from. As I mentioned, that Imam Sadiq, قال الله تعالى في سورة البقرة, وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة. And that occurs, brothers and sisters, in verse 35 of سورة البقرة. أي اتخذ الجنة مأوى ونزلا وهو محل السكون والزوج هي حورة بالمد والزوج في اللغة الفصيحة بغيرها وقد جاء بها قليلا كما في صحيح مسلم قال يا فلان هذه زوجتي فلانة الحديث. He mentions رحمه الله تعالى that we have said وقلنا that we said يا آدم أو آدم dwell you and your wife in Jannah. And that is Sadiq al-Khan goes on to explain that you should take Jannah as a place of residence. And it is a place of tranquility for you, or a place of living, rather of dwelling, for you and your zawj. And the zawj here is a reference to Hawa. And that is Hawa bil mad, yani that is the elongation of the waw, Hawa. And the zawj, the term zawj, in the Lugha al-Arabiya, and as Imam Hazan Khan mentions here, الزوج في اللغة الفصيحة بغيرها, that in the eloquent Arabic language, one refers to his wife as زوج. يعني, oftentimes we hear brothers and sisters saying زوجة, زوجة, يعني, that is my زوج, يعني my husband, and I am his zawja. Or a man will say, I am her zawj, and she is my zawja. But in actuality, ikhwan, that which is most eloquent, and that which is most commonly used in the Lugha al-Arabiya, is the reference of one's wife as zawj. And that is the affair, even though it is apparently a masculine reference, but it is used the majority of the time by the Arab of the past. Ordinarily they would use zawj as opposed to zawja to refer to the wife, and not zawja with the ha, or yani the ta marbuta, if one was to write it. Now, and then we mention, except really, as occurs, for example, in Sahih Muslim, when we have the statement, قَالَ يَا fulana wa bihi zawjati fulana. And that is a reference to the hadith when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made reference to his zawja, when he saw those individuals, when he was speaking to his wife Safiya, and when he saw those individuals see him speaking to his wife by night, and so they left walking away. And he saw the Messenger speaking to Safiya, and so they began to walk away. And so he called them back and said, "Ya fulana, hadhihi zawjati fulana." And this is the point, is the term that was used was zawjati. And so here is an example of when zawj referring to one's wife was used with dita or dha zawjati. But the origin is that ordinarily, and it is eloquent Arabic language to say, "This is my zawj." Or, "Akhi, if you go, you and your zawj, and enter that room." Or, "Akhi, if you and your zawj, when you come to the walima, let your zawj go upstairs, and the brothers are downstairs." Mathalan. That the term zawj is applicable to the women just as it is applicable to the men. And one of the clearest proofs of that is this very ayah. That Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. We said, "O Adam, dwell you and your zawj in Jannah." Let us take Jannah as a place of residence. Many men talk, وَكَانَ خَلْقُ هَوَى مِنْ ذَلْعِهِ يُسْرَى. فَلِذَا كَانَ كُلُّ إِنسَانٍ نَاقِسًا بِالْعَنْ مِنَ الْجَانِبِ الْأَيْسَرِ. فجهة اليمين أضلاعها 18 وجهة اليسار أضلاعها 17. It mentions that Allah Azza wa Jal created Hawa from the rib, or from the right rib of Adam, from the uppermost rib on his right hand side. And for that reason, every human being has one less rib on his right hand side. On his left hand side. But everyone on his left hand side has one less rib than he has on his right hand side. And so he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, so the ribs on the right hand side are 18, while the ribs on one's left hand rib cage are 17. And that, he mentions, is on the basis of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal took one of the ribs from the left hand rib cage of Adam and created his spouse, created his wife, Hawa. He mentioned, وقصة خلقها مبسوطة في كتب السنة واختلفوا في الجنة التي أمر آدم وزوجه بسكانها. He said the story of her creation is مبسوطة and is explained in the كتب السنة. I don't know, إخوانا, of any hadith that is authentic that explains in detail how she was created. And I don't have a hadith that is authentic that explains in detail how she was created. But he mentions here that the origin is that the story of her creation occurs in the Kutub al-Sunnah, occurs in the books of hadith, in books of sunnah. He mentioned, وَاخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي أُمِرَ آدَمَ وَزَوْجُهُ بِسُكَانِهَا. And they have differed, the scholars have differed concerning the Jannah that Adam and his Zawj were commanded to live in. What exactly, where exactly was it? He mentions, فَقِيلَ إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. وقيل هي دار الجزاء والثوارات. وقد استوعب العلامة ابن القيم في كتابه هذه الأرواح إلى بلاد الأفراح أدلة الفريقين ولكل وجهة هو موليها. He mentioned that some of the scholars hold that the Jannah that they were living in was actually on earth. And some hold that the Jannah that they were living in was Jannah. I mean, the actual Jannah that we strive to enter and that we strive as Muslims to be rewarded with, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from its people. And so those who hold that Jannah was on earth, that the Jannah that Allah was referring to, since Jannah means the garden, that they say that the Jannah that Adam and his wife were expelled from was actually a Jannah that was in and upon a high plane on earth. And so when Allah Azza wa Jalla said, get down, both of you, from here, that they hold that Allah Azza wa Jalla commanded Adam and his wife to come down from that beautiful garden that was in that high plane on earth to the lower plane of the earth, to the regular plane of the earth. So they hold that the Jannah that they were made to expel and come out of was a Jannah that was on earth, but it was a beautiful Jannah, beautiful garden that was in and upon a high plane. And then some scholars are those who hold that in actuality the Jannah that they were in was the Jannah that we strive to, that they strive to return to, and that we ask Allah to reward us with. And that they were in a section within Jannah. And that is the conclusion that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim comes to. Because Siddiq al-Khani mentioned that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he discusses in detail these two positions in his book, Hadi al-Arwah ila Bilad al-Afrah, and he mentions the evidences used by both parties. And each of them has an angle that they work with or that they hold on to. He says, وَصَحَّهَ بَعْضُهَا الْقَوْلِ الْأَوَّلِ صَحَّهَ بَعْضُهُمْ الْقَوْلِ الْأَوَّلِ. And some of them hold that the first position was correct, some of them hold that the second was correct, and some hold that both of them are possible, and that there is no means of being certain that any one of the two was intended, and so they say that both of them are possible. So this as Al-Khan continues, قال تعالى فَأَزَلَّهُمَا أَيْ إِسْتَزَلَّ آدَمْ وَحَوَى. That Allah mentioned that that Shaytan made the two of them slip. And that is that he made them slip in committing the sin, and that no doubt caused them to leave Jannah. He said, أَيْ الْجَنَّةَ وَدَعَاهُمَا إِلَى الزَّلَّةِ وَهِيَ الْخَطِيئَةِ. And he called them to this slip and to this mistake, and it was the error and the sin of eating from the tree. وَقِيلَ نَهَاهُمَا قِيلَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ذَلِكَ لِمُشَافَهَا مِنْهُ لَهُمَا وَإِلَيْهِ ذَهَبَ الْجَمْهُورِ مُسْتَدِلِّينَ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَقَاسَرَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمْ عَلَى مِنَ النَّاسِعِينَ. That some of the scholars mentioned that was done by him speaking to them and addressing them. And that is the position of the majority of the scholars, and they used the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and so he argued with them and he took an oath to them that indeed I am from among the Nasihi. I am from among those who only wish to give you advice. And then from the scholars are those who hold that the Mu'asara, or that oath that he took, and that debate that he had with them, that it was nothing but whispering. That somehow, that he didn't actually speak to them directly, rather that he only whispered to them, that he instilled within their breasts and within their hearts the desire to eat from the tree. That he instilled within their hearts the desire to eat from the tree. And so they committed that after being whispered to, and after being inspired with doing so. Now, what is greatly, and that he caused them to even the tree, starting with inspiring and influencing the wife of Adam, Hawa, and then she encouraged her husband with doing so. Inshallah, ikhwan, what we're going to do then is we'll round up on that note. I believe there's some problems with the sound, and so we'll round up on that note, inshallah. And in next week's session, maybe we'll recap, once we've collected the issues with the sound, we'll recap what we mentioned in this session, and we will try, inshallah, and move on through the book as the issues arise. بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.